Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Wendy Yang from Sarasota, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 16th, episode 809. Excuse me, and I'm still sick. And today's episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, it's Monday morning, everybody, and we bring you the holiday hits that Jamie so loves, like this one.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as
Turn it off.
But as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
And another Jennings favorite.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy.
And who could forget Jamie's all-time favorite Christmas song?
Jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey.
Lucky.
Happy Monday, everybody.
La 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 la.
You know, it's a good thing that he didn't do that, Jennifer, while he was here, because we would have a big problem. And I can add a song to that list. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I was at dinner last night with my husband, and this song came on that he had never heard, and I have heard it, and it pierces the soul. Wendy, are you familiar with the song, I'm Getting Nuttin' for Christmas?
No, I am not.
Oh, my God.
Not?
It's recorded from, like, the 40s, and it's this little boy, and he's like, I'm getting nuttin' for Christmas.
Oh,
Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas because I ain't been nothing but bad. And, oh, my God, it is the worst thing I've ever heard, along with Dominus the Donkey and the Hippopotamus song. Nobody needs to hear those in the holiday season, seriously.
Well, I have to admit, I do like the donkey song. I think the donkey song is cute.
It's cute the first time. Maybe the second time. But when you hear it, see, the problem is that I worked at the Gap during a holiday season when I was 16 years old. And there's just some Christmas songs that I just can't hear anymore, ever again, ever. Do you have some that you can't stand?
I'm sure that now that you're a mother, you're going to have a lot of little kids' songs that you're not going to be able to stand either.
Yeah, that's a whole new thing. Oh, gosh, I'll have to compile a list for Glenn so he can drive me crazy.
Wait till they do the pop remake hits with little kids singing them really loud and off-key. You'll love that.
When they sell those CDs of all the pop, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, those are terrible. We're not buying those.
I'm going to get you that for Christmas.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. I'll make a good coaster. Glenn is not here. He is off being a good, sweet husband Christmas shopping. And so that's what he says, but I'm pretty sure he either went to Disney World or a strip club. I haven't decided which one it is. One or the other. They're totally different, by the way. And so it is Girls' Day here on Horses in the Morning. Only girls, no boys allowed. We've got Wendy Ying from the Driving Radio Show as a co-host. We've got Jennifer, our producer. And then we have a long line of all-girl guests. Jennifer, tell us what is coming up on today's show.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, first up, we've got listener Lisa Bick with her new farm update. And perhaps a little. Except we have the better half of our adopted newlywed couple, Katie Murphy, and she is here to relay construction stories of either the horror or happy sort. We'll have to see. And then next up we go Nat Geo Wild with Templeton Thompson and Mary Miller Jordan, Mustang Million Star. And then rounding out the first day of the week, the Wacky World of Horses with Horse Nation, brought to you by High Visibility Sportswear, will warm up our laugh muscles. So stay tuned for the fright, folks.
And let's see. Go ahead. I'll do the music here. Let me get to it here. Do. Okay, here we go. Wendy, that's for you, girl.
Okay, well, my daily Winnie is it has to be for our favorite guy, Glenn, because I think that's so sweet that he's out Christmas shopping.
Aww.
So, Jen, you're a lucky girl. And also, I think it's funny that he goes out on a Monday, because he's like me and he can't stand to be around all that mall crowd on the weekend.
Yeah, but Jen, yeah. Is he going to the mall? Does he go to the mall for you? You don't seem like a mall girl.
I don't think he's going to the mall. I've got a sinking suspicion where he's going is not a chain or mall kind of a store, because he couldn't do it over the weekend, telling me that it's not open on the weekend.
Whoa.
The whole thing's a little bit suspect.
Yeah, it sounds a little suspect. My turn. Well, our first guest, this is for her.
Happy birthday.
Lisa, who's coming on our show to talk about having her farm, it is her birthday today. So not only do we get to talk to her about this awesome new farm they're building, but we get to talk to her and it's her birthday. So congratulations, happy birthday, Lisa. I'll mention it to you a little bit later as well. Now, I've got a list for you guys, and sadly, it's going to ring true, and it might hurt a little bit. Now, it is written from the Horse and Hound, so I've got to translate from English speak to American English speak, because we don't say things like Lori and other words that they use in here, so it might take me a second to translate it in my brain. But the list is, as horse people, the 16 things we miss about being young. Being young, and you're thinking, well, I don't get it. First, number one is being able to mount from the ground. I mean, so that's
yeah,
the type
that's
of list
true.
We're looking at here. Yeah. Now, Wendy,
what do you mean? I'm still young, but I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, we're talking like 12 with horses. Yeah, definitely certain things that you missed about being young around horses. Number one is being able to mount from the ground. Now, Wendy, you don't ride a lot. You drive a lot, but do you still hop on a horse occasionally?
Well, I box on again now, and so sometimes out in the field I have to get back on. And my horses are little. They're only 15 hands, but the one I've been hunting is 15.3, so that's, like, big for me. And
well, it's funny you mentioned that, because number two is being able to get on out in the field bareback in order to ride back to the gate.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I can't. I need
so
a long
you were,
for that.
You were saying your horse is 15.3 that you mount, so that's a huge giant.
Yes,
it is.
Giant.
Oh,
and, you know,
gotcha.
Also, now that I'm a veterinarian, I have an excuse. It's really not good for your horse's back to get on from the ground. That's why I don't get on from the ground.
Oh, that's why. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But, see, you could be the type of person who could get on your horse, and then you can just fix it. So I don't want to hear any excuses. Now, another one is it is not as hard to fall. Like, you can just fall off when you're a kid, and then you just roll on. But now, when we fall, it kind of hurts.
And it's scary.
And it hurts for 6 weeks.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't just hurt for a minute. Like, and when I was a kid, I would fall off, and there's, like, a little bounce involved. But there's no bounce. It's just a total splat thud at this point.
And also, non-horse people.
My entire riding career, Jamie.
Yeah.
And when you're at the grocery store and non-horse people see all the bruises on your body, they look at you like you're an abused woman.
Yeah. Oh, poor thing. No, I did this to myself. Well, I didn't. A 1,200-pound man did. Oh, well, it's a horse. It doesn't make sense. Can't explain it. One thing we, oh, girls, I remember these days, not having a muffin top when wearing breeches.
Oh, yeah. You need to wear the high-waist pants.
See, when I was a kid, I thought, why would anybody want to wear riding pants that go up to their belly button? Now I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Especially post-child. When I have all these little, like, low-rise carrot breeches, carrots that you just pull up and they're like little carrots tights, they just don't quite fit the same post-baby. It's sad.
Do they make maternity breeches? I'm just curious.
You know, apparently they do, but I was not going to spend that kind of money because, you know, maternity clothes, to give you a brief little, like, run-through, you're different every day. It's not like you're huge from start to finish. So if you were to buy a pair of maternity breeches, you would wear them for about a month if they're the big belly kind. And if they're just a small belly kind, you got about a month. And so, like, every month is totally different size. And so maternity clothes are stupid. I just went to Old Navy and bought stretchy pants. That's just – and large shirts. that was my go at maternity clothes. Another one is, peppermints being a part of your diet, a staple part of your diet. I have to admit that I still eat at least 3 peppermints a day.
Well, at least you have fresh breath.
Yes, that is true. let's see. Another one is not having a bad back. Not having a bad back. I'm not quite there yet, but Jennifer, you have a kind of a bad back, don't you? From horses. Oh, she had to go check the collar. So that's another thing. Wendy, I know that you'll get this one because, this is a list of 16 things we miss about being young. Not having to foot the bill.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Daddy,
I remember those days.
Daddy, we need to call the vet and just call it.
And not knowing what your board bill was and not caring.
you didn't care. You didn't care. Yeah. Relishing all chores as long as they were horse-related. Do you remember cleaning every bridle in the tack room for fun or cleaning tack, even if it's not for a show?
Yeah.
Oh, I still love doing that.
Yeah. You still do, Jen. I bet you still do.
I do.
Come to my house, please, because I've got 6 horses and their bridles are disgusting. The night before every show or hunt or driving event being on par with the excitement of Christmas Eve.
Yeah. And I still kind of feel that way about hunting.
Yeah. I feel that way sort of about eventing, but since I started going training, the feeling is not of Christmas Eve. It's like, it's a little bit of dread. Like, oh, my God.
It's like a job interview. It's the night before a job interview.
Yes, exactly. Well said. Having the energy to leap out of bed at 5 in the morning to listen for anybody else who may be awake that is driving age so they can take you to the barn.
Oh, I remember those days.
And another one is having 6 to 8 weeks off every summer to spend every minute of it at the barn.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Do you remember having summers off? Like, you didn't have a job. You didn't have to do anything but hang out at the barn. I remember I dated a guy that had kids, and the girl was like 9, and, I had a job. And she's like, well, when does your summer break start? I was like, oh, you're so sweet. Like, no, we don't get those anymore.
Maybe she thought you were European.
Yeah, they get August off. That's true. And the last one is a hot afternoon spent hanging out in the hay barn discussing ponies, riders, and crushes on your instructor. I never was able to have a crush on my instructor because I had flamboyantly gay hunter trainers. So there was never instructors that we had crushes on because we knew it was kind of pointless. What about you?
Yeah, I think maybe it's different in England, but, I had female trainers or, fabulously gay trainers.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it is different in England. Again, this list was from Horse and Hound. And you can find it on horseandhound.co.uk. And if you want the list, or we can post it on our Facebook page. Oh, my gosh, that it hits a little close to home. I'm still bummed that we – I don't think I appreciated summer vacation as much now as I should have.
I know. You kind of look back on it, and you're like, oh, why didn't I just live it up?
Yeah, I think I started working at like 15. I really should not have got a job. Okay. Our first guest is on the line, and her name is Lisa. Would like to say good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Jamie. How are you? Hi, Wendy.
I'm great.
Hi, Lisa. Happy birthday.
Hi. Thanks.
Yes, you got our daily Winnie this morning for happy birthday. Now, Lisa is listener former Lisa Bick. Now you have a new last name. Tell everybody what it is.
The new last name is Tomczyk.
T-O-M-C-Z-Y-K. Yes, Polish. And I just didn't want to mess it up. So Tomczyk. Lisa Tomczyk, your husband's name is Scott. And tell us a little bit, first of all, before we go any further, it's happy birthday and congratulations because you just announced that you are in fall.
I am. I am starting my 20th week this week. And
wow.
The baby boy is doing a little dance in my belly at the moment.
Yes. I remember those days. Yes. And so you decided, much like I think I started this farm about a year before I got pregnant. And you are kind of a little bit ahead of me. You're pregnant and you're starting your farm. Tell us what is going on at your house.
At the moment, it's for the last week, we've had wind chills and the negatives, so the construction workers have kind of halted where they are doing the rafter, the truss work. So
we've got
the skeleton.
Let's back up a little bit. Where do you live?
In Perry, Michigan. It's just outside of East Lansing.
Okay, so pretty far north. Okay.
Yep. Very close to Michigan State University.
Gotcha. And you bought a farm. Tell us what the place was like before you guys moved in.
It's an older farm. It's on 17 and a half acres. There's an older horse barn on it, but it needs a new roof. So, and it's not tall enough ceiling-wise to fit the 18-hand moose down the aisleway, so we decided to build another horse barn next to it. And we'll keep the existing horse barn for just hay. That way we can keep the hay separated from the horses.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's such a nice thing to do with all the stories you read about fires and all that. So if you can do it, that's fantastic. So you got a barn basically built custom for your horse, who's 18 hands, you mentioned.
Yes.
That's a biggie.
Yes, he is. He was my mare's first baby, and I wasn't expecting, maiden mare to throw such a large foal. I was kind of hoping for 16-3, but no. Got 18
no,
hands.
No, you got 18 hands. Now, what type of riding do you do?
I do dressage. I actually... Years ago, I started out with Arabs doing saddle seat and Western, and then I met my current trainer who had Holsteiners and showed dressage, and I kind of took a liking to it. So now I do that, although at the moment I'm not riding, is a little promise to Scott, and it's killing me.
You know what, Lisa? Riding at 20 weeks?
No, sorry. I secretly rode through my fifth in sixth week. But then,
secretly.
Yes.
Guess what? The whole world knows now.
She's a true horse girl because she decides to get pregnant and build the barn over the winter because she can't ride anyway. So she's getting both of those things out of the way and then she'll be ready for the spring.
Exactly. The barn is the one thing that's keeping me going since I can't ride my horse. lunging isn't the same as actually being on the horse and watching other people ride him.
Everybody has a different idea of the pregnant and riding. Of course, your doctor has one idea, and it's like, oh, don't ride a horse. Well, I was like, I'll ride the I'm going to ride as long as I can. And then I had at about 5 months, one of my horses just started spooking a lot, and I swear it was because I was pregnant. And the other horse started behaving really well, so I rode him till 8 months and didn't have a problem. But you quit. Now, was there a reason you quit at five? You said because of your husband?
Yeah, Scott didn't want me riding. It's not so much that the riding that bothers him. It's just the risk of me falling, since I've fallen twice from Chevy, mostly because of his spooking. But
gotcha.
Those are just kind of
and he's 18 hands.
Freak things.
Yeah.
It's a long way down.
Yeah, it's a long way down. That's probably a good idea. Good for Scott. Probably very smart. And don't worry, it won't go on forever, and you won't be pregnant forever, and then this will all be over, and you won't even think about it. Now, the one little piece of information that I can give you as a farm owner with a new baby, he's 6 months. My little Lucas is 6 months old, and you can't just go out and ride anymore. Unless you have somebody to watch your kid, it kind of sucks. But you get a Bob stroller, and it's like a all terrain vehicle, and take him out with you. And he goes out and feeds the horses with me twice a day. He loves the chickens. He thinks everything is hilarious. When the horses eat carrots, I put them like right in his face, you know, and let the horses grab the carrots, and he thinks their teeth are funny, and he laughs. And so just make sure you saturate him while you can. It definitely changes your day.
Yeah, Scott didn't really think too highly of me just saying that we could put him in the dog kennel, which will be the chicken coop eventually, and then I could go out riding.
I've figured that every single thing you buy for children is just a tiny little prison. Everything is a little cage.
Exactly.
And you just have to figure out what cage they're happiest in. Like, we have this little jumpy thing that hangs from the door, and he loves that little cage. And I put him in that cage, and I can do whatever for at least half an hour before he gets bored.
And then as they grow, you just have to make the cage bigger.
Exactly. Here's your cage. It is called the television. I'll be back in an hour.
You can get one of those trampolines with the net around it.
Yeah,
that's a good
and then
stage.
You can zip tie them into the whole thing. I think that's genius. So Lisa, do you have plans for an indoor riding arena? What are your future plans for this farm?
Eventually we'll add the indoor arena behind the barn that we're building now. So we've got plans with lifespan building for a 60-foot by 140-foot that'll attach to the north side of the barn. But we got to finish building the barn first and then get the sand put down, and I'll just use it as an outdoor arena until we replenish the funds to get the indoor arena built.
Oh, my gosh, that is so cool. You're going to get an indoor. That is awesome. I guess you kind of have to up there, huh?
Yeah, and the master plan is for me to eventually be able to quit my current job at the newspaper and start a boarding facility and do some freelance graphic work out of home.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So that's the dream. Do you have your first pony picked out for your future unborn child?
No, I told my friends who own quarter horses that they need to look at, like, reining prospects or cow horse prospects, because if he's going to get into riding, he needs to bring in some money. He needs to earn his keep around here.
I love it. Do you have any pony reiners? Do they have classes for pony reiners? Because if they do, I'm out west. I think maybe Lucas could get involved in that.
Yeah, they must have that. It'd be so cute.
Yeah, well, let's get some reiners on to talk about it. That or we'll be at the NFR every year watching my son get bucked off of bulls and trying to win a check. Sounds awesome. Well, cool. Well, good luck to you guys. That is that's fantastic. What is your due date?
May 7th, which is actually a day after Chevy's birthday.
After your horse's birthday. Well, don't worry. The the due date, as I learned, is just a gentle suggestion. So you can,
yeah,
on his birthday. You can do it.
Yeah. The computer at the last scans was saying May 6th, and I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he'll come whenever he wants to come, as long as he's not as big as Scott was.
Oh, really? How big was your husband when he was born?
His entire family, the smallest child was 10 pounds.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
Get that thing out of there. You know, there's a point where they can just induce you, okay? So please, don't do that to yourself.
I know.
So early. So early.
And I just better have a small head circumference.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to gross Jen out now. She can't take that. She can't take that kind of talk. Well, Lisa Tomczyk and talking about her new farm. Thank you so much. Happy birthday. Do you have big birthday plans?
No, I was going to go to the barn, but being that it's only 2 degrees outside, I guess I will just hang out at the house and get caught up on lovely housework.
Are you sure that you don't want to work from home in the South? I mean, you could build a farm down in the South or out in Arizona as well.
I've really thought about it.
Yeah. Think about it a little harder. But we're super excited for you. Love the pictures you post on Facebook. And good luck with everything. And happy birthday.
Thanks.
And the good thing is you get to be pregnant for the holidays. So you get to eat whatever you want. You get to be pregnant for Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Valentine's Day, eat all those chocolates and enjoy it, girl.
See, now I've got the excuse.
Exactly. Baby weight. All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Good luck.
Thanks. Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Seriously, though. Seriously, it was super fun being pregnant during the holidays. And
that sounds awesome. That's the only time I've ever thought, besides having a pony, that it might be good to have a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Trust me, being pregnant sucks. You have to come up with any sort of enjoyment that you can find. And if eating is the way to do it, it's the way to go. You know, I ate more Christmas bark, you know, the peppermint bark last year than I care to discuss. Just because I could. Omega Alpha is our sponsors on Mondays. Can you guys hear the baby in the background?
A little bit.
Yeah. A little
Lucas.
Bit. Okay,
hi, Lucas.
That brought him in. He likes to participate in the show. He's our biggest fan. Well, I'd like to thank Omega Alpha for being a sponsor of today's show and every Monday. It is, I think, Wendy, you use Omega Alpha products as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're excellent products, and I like the philosophy that he has developed the formulas on. It's on Chinese medicine principles, so they're great products.
Yeah, and being a veterinarian and also you're kind of a Eastern medicine person, right? So how are these different? These Omega Alpha products different in your mind?
Oh well, the basis of Chinese medicine is you don't just treat the symptoms; you actually treat the root of the problem. Like when we talked about your dog, when your older dog was sick. Instead of just suppressing one symptom, which maybe that drug might affect another system, you try to get the root of the problem and try to support the animal's own body to heal itself. So a lot of the principles of these formulas do that. For example, like you were talking about eating peppermints earlier.
Uh-huh.
So peppermints are really important when you have horses with breathing issues, whether it be COPD or allergies or whatever. Peppermints help strengthen the metal element and help also dilate the bronchioles at the same time so you can increase breathing. It's easier for them to breathe, and then also it decreases the mucus in their trachea. So those
I need
kind
some
of things,
peppermint right now.
Yeah, maybe that's why you'd like to eat a lot of peppermints besides just the taste of it, is that maybe your body needed that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, then the horses on my farm should breed very well, because we take stock in peppermints. And that kind of information that Wendy just spewed out is the stuff you will find at Omega Alpha already in. They've done all the work for you. If you have a problem with one of your horses, contact Omega Alpha. And you find them at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And contact them and say, hey, my horse has a breathing problem, or my horse just isn't thrifty enough, or I'm feeding too much and he's not gaining weight. And they can figure out a way to get to the root of the problem, just like Wendy says. So find them at OmegaAlphaEquine.com, yeah, and talk to Dr. Chang. He's a wealth of knowledge about all this. And of course, you can always talk to Wendy as well. Find her. Ask her what's going on, and she can refer you to an Omega Alpha product that will suit you the best. There you go, Wendy. You like how I just put you right in there?
I did. Thank you. Glenn does the same thing. He says, if you have any questions, call me. And I always say, call Glenn.
Exactly. Just call Glenn. Just send them his number. So we're going to play one quick song before we get to our next guest. Our next guest is going to be Katie Murphy from Murphy Eventing. And we just got a quick song because it's the holidays, and I'm trying to squeeze in as many Templeton Thompson holiday songs. Here we have Happy Ye Holidays.
You're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Well, the snow is softly falling on the pasture, and there's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling, lights are all a twinkling, Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and hoping that you're warm and home safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Yeah. Too big for dreaming, ain't nothing like the feeling when all the ones you love are gathering near. So I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays.
Here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022, or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride. And welcome back to Horses in the Morning, everybody. Today's show brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. It's All Girls Day here on the show with Dr. Wendy Ying and Jamie Jennings hosting. So, Wendy, I have a quick question for you.
Yes?
Well, a lot of folks, you were talking about fox hunting earlier in the show. And
right.
The Hit'em audience might not realize that you were an avid fox hunter before you moved to Florida. You hunted in Virginia, did you not?
I did, yeah. I actually, when I was in college, I hunted in California, in Northern California. And then when I moved to Virginia or back east to go to vet school and I lived on the East Coast, I hunted in North Carolina and Virginia. And it was great. I loved it. It was really fun.
So just like everything else in the horse world, even fox hunting, which is about the most traditional equestrian pursuit you can come up with beyond perhaps carriage driving, how does it differ here in Florida versus California or Virginia? Because each area of the country seems to have its own different personality. Talk a little bit about how differ from place to place.
Well, in Virginia, it's more traditional what you'd think of for fox hunting. You know, it's kind of nice rolling fields and it's beautiful grass and there's these big jumps. So in Virginia, I'm kind of wimpy, right? So, I jump, but I'm not always 100% happy about it. So I would always, like, you know, follow people around. And you can't get away from jumping in Virginia. You have to jump. In Florida, we don't have that many jumps because it's more cattle farms, open cattle farms, so there's not as many fences. I'm sure where you were hunting in Massachusetts, there's much smaller fences, so you probably have a lot more jumps there, too.
Yeah.
But when you're in these big cattle farms, you might not see a jump for a long time. Like, you know, 20 minutes you could go galloping and not see a jump. So, and in California, let me tell you, those coops in California, they're coops over barbed wire. And the gate is usually next door, but it's one of those Portuguese gates. Do you know what those are?
No.
It's three strands of barbed wire, and there's a board, and you have to squeeze the board together really hard to, like, get this other piece of barbed wire off to open the gate. And so it's, even if you're afraid to jump, you're like, I'm just going to jump it because I can't get that gate open, and I'll be left alone, and I'll be lost here with the coyotes.
Oh, geez, they encourage you to jump by making the gates so difficult to navigate it's not worth the hassle.
Yeah, and then you have to get back on your horse, and there's nowhere to get back on because it's all wire.
Wow.
So just like our lift, you can't get back on again. You know, you're in big trouble.
Yeah. So in California, did you hunt fox or coyote?
We hunted mostly coyote. And I hunted with the Los Altos hounds, so shout out Los Altos people. But it was a very fun hunt, and the runs were very fast, and it was a fun time. And then in Virginia, we hunted mostly fox, and it was a little bit different because the coyotes run pretty straight, so you just go, you gallop. And in Virginia, there's more running in a circle, and you actually get to view the quarry a little bit more, because they're going in a circle. And then here in Florida, we do mostly coyote. And in Florida, you've been out there with me at the Hunter Pace, and that's one of the farms that we hunt at. And this is a cattle farm near Tampa. And the underbrush is so thick. I've never seen any coyotes or fox that we've been chasing. Although I know we're chasing something, I just have never seen it. I never have any views because there's too many palmetto bushes. And I'm just hoping that we don't see any alligators or snakes when I'm hunting in Florida.
Yeah.
How do you know that you're hunting a coyote versus a fox. Like, I mean, who tells you that? Like, the dogs are like, sorry, guys, there's no fox, but we found a coyote. I mean, how does that work?
Well, you don't, like, 100% know unless you see it. But like I said, the coyotes tend to run more in a straight line, and they run faster, whereas the fox will tend to run in a circle and hide. They have a smaller territory, and they're a little bit smarter, you know, so they kind of take the hounds places that they know they can get away. So you only know that depending on how you're running. But it's a guess, you know, unless you see something.
I have such a bad joke, but it just keeps popping into my head. What does a fox say? What does a fox say? You know what's bad is I know what a fox say. They bark.
Yeah, they do. They bark. That's why I didn't get that song either.
Yeah. They don't go, ring-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a. But that's a great video, so I can't argue with it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Carry on.
No, that's good. You know, one of the things I love about fox hunting is that actually I was telling this to Glenn the other day, is it's one of the only horsey activities that I participate in where you're going as a group, like where I'm not competing. It's just a fun group of people getting together riding. So I really enjoy that aspect of fox hunting. And also, you know, we actually really love the game. We don't ever want the hounds to catch the game for the most part, because we're just doing it for fun. So many fox hunters actually feed the foxes in their neighborhoods, or, you know, take care of them, or put a little ivermectin meatballs out there so they don't get mange and ticks. So we're not bloodthirsty killers. We're just
ivermectin
out there and having a good time.
Meatballs. Really?
Yes. Well, yeah. Heartworm and fleas. Mange, it helps.
Who knew?
Yeah. So.
Interesting. Who has the best wildlife beyond the quarry that you're chasing about? Who has the best, get to see the most variety and most scary or most interesting other critters while you're out there?
Well, I would say, I guess I'd have to say Florida because, you know, a lot of times I have to close my windows just in my own backyard because it's like a, you know, wildlife park out back there. And when we were at that hunter pace, I mean, we went to clean up the course later. We saw a giant alligator, a couple snakes. You know, you could see a wild boar. There's just a lot of, it's because of the underbrush here, I think you have a lot more wild animals.
Now, we were just talking to, we just had on our show some eventers from California, who, James and Taryn Atkinson, who actually went to Africa and visited a cross-country course where loose on the course are giraffes and zebras and all sorts of African animals, mammals that are loose on the course. And
that's so great.
I mean, it was amazing. And they said the horses weren't even affected. Of course, their horses are used to it. Our horses are not. So I wonder, do like in Ocala horse trials and different horse trials like that, are there alligators on the cross-country course there? I mean, does the water jump get infected with alligators? Like, whoa!
No, I mean, let's hope that they chase them away before the thing starts. But, you know, anytime you're riding in Florida and there's wet, boggy areas, you have to think there could be something in there.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, that's scary. That's scary. I know our next guest on the line would not like to event and gallop through a water jump and see an alligator, and that is Katie Murphy. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, guys.
Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah, and what we were going to talk to you about, I don't know if you heard our last discussion, but, yeah, alligators in a water jump would not do it for me.
No, well, at our new property, we have a pond, but I think up in New Hampshire right now, the poor alligators would have frozen. So I think we're safe for now.
So is that where your new farm is, New Hampshire?
New Hampshire, yes. It's closer towards the seacoast, but I'm fortunate that I can still go down to Aiken for winter training. So I avoid about 10 weeks of our winter up here.
And I know that you're probably pretty close to heading south to Aiken, which still gets pretty cold, but it's not, mm-hmm. you know, New Hampshire cold. How do you do that with your husband, kind of sitting there like, hello.
Well, I'm really, really lucky that he's so understanding and supportive, but we make sure that he comes down every other week or every 3 weekends to visit for a long weekend. And we do lots of Skyping and calling and staying in touch. And, yeah, it's difficult. But I think there comes a point for me in the riding career and with the progression of the horses that the New Hampshire winter is just too long, and it really affects our season up here.
Yeah, I would imagine. And just like our last caller, you guys are crazy enough to build farms from basically scratch up in New England in the north, in the frozen north. But talk a little bit about your place. First of all, congratulations, you married very well.
I did. I am incredibly lucky, yes. Yeah, we just had that conversation yesterday, actually, because all the big projects we've done from literally day one of ownership of the property have all centered around the horses. And poor Roger has totally gotten the shaft when it comes to that. But with the winter coming in so quickly, it was really necessary to get the riding ring in and the fencing before the ground froze, along with the barn, because if we suddenly get snowfall after snowfall, we can't transport the horses on the roadways or get into our property with all the snowbanks.
And I have seen your pictures on Facebook of the farm and the horses galloping around in their new paddocks and the four-board fencing and the beautiful area that you've laid out for the arena. And I would just like to congratulate you first on winning the lottery, because you must have won the dang lottery to put that gorgeous arena and that gorgeous fencing in.
Well, all of the money that I made from selling Emmett, my 4-year-old Dutch cross, who proved to not be a good match for eventing, all of that money went into the construction of the ring. So we were lucky that we had that nest egg in the meantime.
Uh-huh.
We also were fortunate that we worked with a really, really great dirt guy. And similar to when I built a smaller ring in Hoffington, where the horses were, Hoffington, New Hampshire, this fellow knew nothing about riding arenas, but he knew about good dirt work, good earth work, and he was on YouTube researching and reading and asking me lots of questions, and he found ways to save us a lot of money. So we had to blast an entire ledge, which cost us more than what we were expecting, but he was really fantastic and saved us a ton.
And that's the kind of guy that you want to give everybody his phone number. So if people up in New Hampshire need dirt work, call him. And then the other question that all of our listeners have is, does Roger have a brother?
He does, but he's married, and he's more of a city fellow. So I've been trying to work on cloning, so that's been requested as well.
Yes, that sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah, the fencing that you did, it's just gorgeous. You spared no expense, and I'm really glad. I get it, though, because my living quarters trailer is based on the sale of my warm blood, and the shed out back, the three-stall barn that I put in is based on the sale of a different horse named Jack that I sold. I get it, girl. Like, we don't keep money. We spend money.
I know. Well, yeah, and for us, it took us a year to find this property. We had negotiated and been under agreement with contract with 4 other properties before we found this one. And for whatever reason, contingencies, inspection results, or we learned in one particular, the property had been misrepresented that it actually was in a floodplain. And we would have ruined the field with the horses chomping around. So it took us a long time and 4 other properties to walk away from to find this. And I mean, there is no doubt we are very financially stretched to make this work. But we saw the house. We were just so blown away by the quality of the land. And the location is really convenient for Roger's work, for my work professionally. And if I continue working in an office job professionally, there's so many opportunities out here. And with the fencing, again, you know, we were considering split rail, traditional split rail, but then we found this Wind River fence product through Crow Fence and Decking, And they told us about the 20-year guarantee. And, my gosh, up here, within 15, 20 years, if you're lucky, you are replacing all of your fencing.
Oh, yeah.
So we thought, you know, if we can stretch ourselves and make this work, we've just saved ourselves even more money than what we're spending now in that 15-year period. So it's,
yeah.
And for me, also knowing that we can't afford a horse that already has a lot of competition experience, we start with good quality youngsters and bring them along. You know, babies can be so naughty and
yeah.
so rowdy that we wanted the safest product we could afford for them.
Wow, that's really cool. I'm so excited for you to get this place going. I know I've kind of followed you along from when you were just dating Roger and he was going to his first horse show with you. And, you know, we followed you along for your whole relationship, and I'm so excited for you to kind of make this next step in your life and eventually the transition that you'll make into professional riding exclusively, because – You are a force to be reckoned with these days in the eventing world.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I think a lot of it is hard work, but there comes a point where if the stars don't align, per se, you can be so close, but yet still be so far. And I am still a significant distance from my ultimate goal, but I think if we continue to work towards it positively, and every day there's at least a small step forward, we're going in the right direction.
Well, because I believe in the secret, say your goal out loud, your ultimate goal. So it will then resonate in the universe and come true.
Well, since I was 8 years old, after I finished my very first cross-country course, it was pre-elementary on my little chestnut pony, Dee Dee, I asked if they did this at the Olympics. And my instructor said, yes, they do. And that's when I said, that's what I want to do. And so hopefully riding for our country, representing them in international competition, representing us in international competition, that is my ultimate goal, and I continue to work towards that every day.
You go, girl. You go. That's awesome. And, you know, I don't know if your instructor told you when you were 8 years old riding, like, pre-beginner novice or whatever, that it gets a little harder. The Olympics are a little harder than what you did back then, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little
yeah.
bit, you have to be pretty, you have to be kind of crazy, and I think maybe you're just crazy enough, so you can do it, girl. You can do it.
Thank you.
Well, we got to let you go. We got a little bit of a late start with you. We've got our next guest on hold right now, but I just want to wish you the best of luck. Where can everybody read more? I mean, are you still going to be writing for Eventing Nation?
I am. Yeah, they occasionally ask me to guest blog for them, but you can also see even more photos through my blog found at www.murphyeventing.com.
Okay, sounds great. Everybody, well, we're going to post a link to that on our Facebook page. And tell that sweet husband of yours we said hello.
I will. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
I mean, doesn't it make you excited talking to her, Wendy, just listening to
yeah.
her and her passion?
Yes, I love that. I love to hear. I'm glad you asked her to share that out loud, her goals, because that's going to be exciting, and I hope she makes it. That sounds really great. And it's fun to watch them progress, too.
Yeah, it is. And I see her in the magazines now, and I read about her on Eventing Nation, and she's really moving along. And what's awesome is we're going to be like, we knew her when, back before she was an Olympian, and I can't wait.
Yeah, that's exciting.
We've got our next guest on the line, and that is Templeton Thompson and Mary Miller Jordan. And Tempe needs no introduction. Good morning, Tempe.
Good morning.
We are so happy to have you on our show. The last time I saw you was on my birthday, and you were singing me happy birthday.
It was, and it was warm because we were in Arizona.
Yes. Are you
awesome.
In Nashville right now, freezing?
Oh, yes. Well, you know what? It's supposed to warm up. I think it's going to get into the low 50s by midweek this week, so that's exciting. And the sun
wow.
is shining. So I am
on your home.
Happy. I am home with my babies.
Well, Tempe, why don't you introduce your friend, Mary Miller Jordan?
I can do that. Y'all, one of the most amazing rock star cowgirls that I've ever known in my whole life, Miss Mary Miller Jordan, just one of the most amazing horsewomen I've ever met, and now a very dear sister friend, and she's, well, she's famous, and more people are getting to know her, and they're getting to know about her beautiful way of working with horses, and I love her, Miss Mary Miller Jordan, y'all.
Good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. I'm not supposed to cry while I'm on the show. After that kind of introduction.
Mary, I cry at least once a week on this show. It is totally fine.
Okay, that's good to know.
You're not going to embarrass yourself. I sing and cry. It's a disaster all the time. So you guys are working together. Tempe or Mary, you guys can I'll ask you questions individually. Mary, how did you meet Tempe, and what is your relationship?
Oh, my gosh. That's hard to make brief, but I have seen Tempe's stuff where she would post online for a while. A mutual friend of ours, Candy, a Facebook friend, had been messaging me about Tempe for a long time and kept linking stuff to hers, and she finally sent me an actual CD of a bunch of Tempe songs that were kind of her favorites, and I popped that thing in the radio in the car, and I mean, I was sitting there going down the road thinking, okay, how have I not known who this woman was before? Where have I been? I mean, it just, the Girls and Horses song, I have to say, was the first one that really just grabbed me and just, like, picked me up out of the car. And so then, you know, I come home, and I love working with my Mustangs, and I love doing Liberty, and anything I can do to really embrace the relationship between you know, me and them, and, you know, and I'm fascinated with that. And so I started doing these videos to Tempe's songs, and when I would do performances places, I would use her music, and I started talking to her on Facebook, and I don't think I've ever met anybody as talented as she is in her field that is so real. You know, that is truly a find, and you know, because you know her, but she is just as real. What you see her post online and what you meet in person, I mean, that is her to the core, and that's huge. That's more important to me than her talent, to be honest. But, I mean, the talent's just icing on the cake. So I feel very blessed and so thankful to Tandy for putting us together.
No, Tempe, I won't allow you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
I was waiting for the onslaught of gushiness that was going to come from Tempe regarding what you said, Mary.
I love you, MMJ. Thank you for that. Seriously, happy tears. Jeez, thank you. I just feel so blessed, you know. I just feel really grateful, and it's so amazing because, yes, sweet Tandy, we just love Tandy, we're shouting out to you this morning. We love you so much. It's just amazing to me how friends out there have been so kind to open up doors for me and for Sam, you know. And I say it all the time, it's all because of the horses. It's all because of my babies. In fact, Jane is staring at me going, you are late to feed us this morning, Mom, whatever. But it's all because of them. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. And, Mary, thank you for that. That means the world because – kudos and right back at you. That's the thing with me with MMJ is the authenticity, and, you know, what you see is what you get, and I'm just in awe and so inspired by her as a person and by her way with her horses. I mean, she loves them like I love them. You know, I'm just, they are her children like they are my children. I know we are just, we're kindred spirits, and we've known that from the moment we just started even communicating on Facebook and by email. So I'm grateful.
Now, Mary... Mary, when you say you use her song during your performances, let's explain to everybody what you do.
I have gotten really involved in Mustang makeovers, which is kind of where you take a wild horse and you have roughly 100 days to gentle them, train them, and then you perform against other trainers with their Mustangs. And if you make the finals, you get to do a performance that is a freestyle that you design yourself, and it's choreographed to a song of your choice. And her songs are just, you could not pick a better match to embrace the relationship. Because what I want to give, when I do a performance with my Mustangs, I want the viewer to feel the joy and just the happiness in their heart that I'm feeling in mine when I'm out there working with them. And so, you know, to be able to visually give that to them and then for them to hear her music at the same time, I mean, that is so important to me.
So yeah, it's been through these makeovers that I've had the opportunity to do these freestyles, for sure.
And you are so amazing. What I really liked about your video was, I really liked how the video and the song, it really was like specifically about horses, and I could totally feel what you're saying, what was in your heart, and the freedom that you got from being with the horse, and how the horse really trusts you, you know, without a doubt, because you're doing all this bridleless riding. I thought it was really wonderful with the song and the video.
Well, thank you. I mean, the reward is just in the relationship with the horses. And I feel like for me, the deeper my relationship goes with the horse, the more my relationship kind of grows with who I am inside. And then the more this relationship with Tempe has developed, the more I kind of find out who I am. And it's like we're all on a journey, I feel like, to discovering our true self. And it's just the horses and Tempe's music, it just brings it all together for me.
Yeah.
It really does. And listen to her. I have to ask you, Mary, you know, we were talking about earlier about selling horses, and it's so incredibly difficult. These Mustangs that you train, I think I would have a hard time parting with them. How many have you kept of all the ones you had to train?
All of them, as in every one of them. I have 7 Mustangs I've gentled, and I have 7 Mustangs in my pasture right now, along with about 15 domestics. We have quite a few mouths to feed, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And you know, I'm thankful for the trainers that have trained them up and moved them on to homes, because we need that too. Not every person, you know, there's a lot of people out there that can offer a Mustang a wonderful home, but aren't necessarily going to be able to do the gentling part of it, and that's fine. So I'm so thankful for the trainers that make that can do that. For me, you know, I have wanted to keep mine, and I'm thankful for the opportunities that are happening through my relationship with Templeton and through these Mustangs, to where I can do stuff with the Mustangs together. I think that's what having all of these, you know, when I first went from, you know, I worked with one wild horse for 4 months for these events, and then I go to the next wild horse, and then I would keep the Mustangs afterwards, and I felt like this man that had like multiple wives, because I felt like they all just had this, I had this connection with each of them, and I almost felt kind of guilty, you know, when I would spend time with one more than the other. And so that really has been the draw for me to start doing this stuff with them all together as a herd, and I work with them at the same time, and that has just fascinated me. I mean, just the relationship, because my relationship with each horse is a little different, and the way I communicate with each horse is a little different, because the horse, you know, the horse is the one that determines the energy and how I'm going to need to use my energy to help that horse. So some need a little more energy, some need me to be really quiet, and so working with them as a whole, as a herd, it just fascinates me. It just takes it to a different level in my own self, I think, and so that is a lot of what I want to do in 2014 is do more and more work with them together and more to Tempe's beautiful music.
Stuff. I know it to my soul. We got lots of fun things that we're thinking about and dreaming about and putting out into the universe. So I'm excited. Go ahead.
No, I just think that's really cool, because I have 2 thoroughbreds, and I sadly, in eventing, you can only ride one at a time.
Yeah.
So when I'm riding one, the other one stares at me, and it's like they're mad. I can't imagine 7 of them standing there, those beady little eyes staring at me going, excuse me.
It's like, quite the guilt trip they put on. Yes,
yeah,
I feel quite the guilt trip.
Parents. Yeah, it's like a child of divorced parents. You spent 5 more minutes with mom than you did dad. And so now you're in trouble.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny, because I am the same way, you guys, and I have my 2 big, beautiful rock stars, my Jane and my Beau, and I'm always feeling guilty. I'm like, okay, Beau, I'm gonna work with you in a minute. Jane, I'm going to work with you in a minute. And I've been trying to, you know, I want to be like MMJ, so I go out and try to work with them at the same time, too. I think I've told you that a little bit, Mary, that I've been playing around with that myself. And, well, I tell you what, I sure do appreciate how dang hard that is. So much fun, but it's so hard. It's hilarious. We just have way too much fun. I wanted to just say, too, Mary, just to invite people to go make sure they subscribe to your YouTube channel and check out all of your videos. And that's not about my music. That's just about what she's been telling y'all about and her working with her whole herd. It is just unbelievable. So if folks will take some time and
and dig in a little bit and see what she's doing. It's just, it's magical. It is, you know, and there's that beautiful girls and horses relationship, and there's nothing like it. And I'm not leaving the boys out either, you know, but this woman is truly touched, and, you know, I'm really grateful to know you, Mary, and I'm so grateful that more people are getting to know you and your horses and your hearts. You know, it's a beautiful thing. So make sure everybody explore that. Subscribe to her YouTube channel. Go to her website. Like her on Facebook. You know, love, love, love. Aww. Abundant Universe. Give her lots of love. The whole herd.
And we'll post links to all of that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, so those listening not in front of a computer can go ahead and find you. And I'm sold. I want to see it. I want to see it with the music. I want to see all of it. And I'm super excited to go and explore MaryMillerJordan.com, HighCottonHorseFarm.com, and we'll find you on Facebook and YouTube. Everybody knows where to find Tempe. That's Tempe on Facebook or TempletonThompson.com. All you have to do is listen to one of our shows, and we talk about her at some point. So, you guys, thank you so much.
Thank you. And, hey, happy holidays. It is Christmas time, after all. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Oh, we are
so happy.
We already played Happy Ye Holidays earlier, but we're going to play a song here. And Glenn told me that I had to play some Tempe Christmas songs. However, with the mention, because he's not here, and because Mary mentioned it, I'm going to take you guys out with our favorite song. You guys, thank you for joining us. Here is Tempe and Girls and Horses. Love y'all.
Thanks. Love y'all. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, yeah.
Bye.
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 Well, she talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls and
everybody to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine this Monday. And it is that time of the day today, the Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility North America, Warm up your laugh muscles, everybody. This segment is brought to you by High Visibility North America, and High Visibility North America are the distributors for the UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines. Already the preferred choice in the UK for thousands of equestrians, numerous mounted police forces, even the Queen's Household Cavalry, the range is now exclusively available in the United States and Canada from High Visibility North America. The entire range is not only functional in that it will keep you safe, whether in the woods during hunting season, while riding on the road out on the trail, but it is also fashionable and well-made, meeting everyone from eventers to dressage and Western riders love it. The range has everything for you, winter jackets and lightweight vests suitable for year-round, as well as already appeared on Dan James at the Road to the Horse competition and Kim Gentry, an FEI dressage rider. So everybody's using it. Visit them today on the web at highvisibilitysportswear.com. And now, take it away, Jamie and Wendy.
Well, I was just going to say, High Visibility Sportswear. Wendy, did you happen to read what we're going to talk to Leslie about, 20 riding style tips to help you survive in Canada or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to think about back in those days.
Did you ever ride up north? Did you ever live up north?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Massachusetts.
Oh, dear God. And, thank God you made it that smart and went to Florida.
And in the beginning, we didn't have an indoor riding ring. And I remember we would go out and salt the arena and then go back in and do the barn so that it would, like, soften up a little so we could go out and ride. It was awful.
That sounds terrible. And there's so many listeners that are like, yeah, we do that every day, you jerks. But that's your own fault. It's what you get for living there. Well, we would like to say hello to Leslie Wiley. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Now, it's not as bad for you because you're in Tennessee, correct?
I am.
Okay, you haven't headed even further south so far yet for the winter. But I have a question because I got a phone call from the Sheriff's Department in Tennessee over the weekend, and they told me that they asked me if I knew you and all these questions about you, and I said that you were okay and they were going to release you. But somehow, at some point, you ended up at 2 a.m. running through the streets of Knoxville in riding boots and a scantily clad Santa baby outfit. Is this what is this?
It happened. Funny story. I went to a party on Saturday night. It was a hot Christmas party, so I was like wearing this like sexy Santa costume and like heels, and like I was the life of the party, like tearing up on the dance floor. And I was not ready to leave when my husband was ready to leave. So a friend was like, no big deal. Like, I'll take Leslie home. You just keep dancing. You just keep raising. You go. So I was like, cool. So anyway, eventually we left, and she took me by my house, dropped me off at my house, and it seemed that. I had not thought this through because I didn't have my keys with me. And my husband had locked the door and fallen asleep, not answering his phone. So I go all around the house and, no windows, no doors, nothing's unlocked. I'm locked out of the house for sure. And
was all your stuff
point,
in the front yard?
What's that?
Did he throw your clothes in the front yard?
No, right?
Oh.
Well, it was a miscommunication. So anyway, so by this point, like, I don't want to call my friend back who's been so sweet to just drop me off. And by this time, like, she's long gone anyway. So I'm like, no big deal. Like, the party's only, like, 2 or 3 miles away. I'll just run back to the party. And whatever.
Can I jump in here and ask you, honestly, how drunk were you at this point?
I probably wasn't at my decision-making best, probably.
Okay.
She was drunk enough to decide it was good to go back to the party at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. But so I'm like, okay, no big deal. Like, and I had my tall riding boots out on the porch. So I was like, I'll just take my heels off, put my riding boots on, and, like, go. Like, I'll be there in, like, half an hour. So I do that, and I'm just, like, running. And you have to keep in mind, like, I do not live in the best neck of the woods. Like, it's kind of the hood.
Okay.
I'm running, and I'm running through, like, sort of increasingly sketchy areas. And at some point, it, like, dawns on me that the ridiculousness of the fact that I'm running my riding boots, my fan outfit, that I'm either going to get, like, definitely, I can see it coming down the pike, like, I'm either going to get arrested or abducted, like, one of the two, neither desirable.
Like, I am currently a potential rape victim right now.
Right now. So, finally, I think I made, like, I counted them up the next morning, 26 phone calls between, like, 1:30 and 2 a.m., including two wrong numbers. And got a hold of someone whose neighborhood that I was currently running through, and he took me in and let me sleep on his couch. So it all worked out for the best. But,
So let me get this straight. You go to your house where your husband is inside the house after you've left him because he wanted to go home, and you stayed at a party, got hammered, danced on tabletops, dressed as a sexy Santa, got a ride home. He would not open the door for you. Did you ring the doorbell? Were you banging?
Oh, yeah. I was kicking the door and pounding at the windows. He was fast asleep. He was not waking up.
Sleeping, Jamie.
Yeah, we know what happens for real. That's called being
mad.
Can
I ask another question? Was this person that you slept in his on his couch, was this an ex-boyfriend?
No.
God, snap, that'd be awful.
That would be awkward. No. I would not be that. I'm not that desperate. No, he's a friend of both my husband and I, so
So if what you're telling us is true, because I'm having a hard time buying all of this, that you were not basically locked out of the house on purpose, but if for some reason your story is true and you were kicking and banging on the door and he did not open the door and he had the keys, I would be so incredibly pissed off at him. Because here you are running down the street, potential rape victim in riding boots and the Santa costume. All you needed was a crop to fulfill the fact that you would have got arrested. How mad were you then at your husband at all, if at all?
I was mad for like 30 seconds, and then I realized that it was really my fault because I clearly did not have any sort of game plan, did not think about not having my keys with me or even telling him to keep the door unlocked. You know, I was like in full on, like, you know, I was like in my dance party zone. So there was no thinking. So it was really my fault. I believe in self accountability for sure. But he did feel really bad anyway. Like, he felt really, really bad.
Wow. You must have been drinking, because my God, I'd be so mad. But, whew, I don't even want to think about it. Yeah, I already had a fight. I had a little bit of a fight with my husband. And you know what? We might not ever talk about HorseNation.com today, because I've got to come clean on something. I'm just going to let it go, and then we'll just talk about this. Wendy, you can hopefully add to the conversation. But I had a fight with my husband this weekend because I had a little bit of an estrogen-induced rage-filled temper tantrum. And it involves my neighbors, who I have mentioned several times before. I don't think I've painted an exact picture, but my neighbors think that the world is going to end and the government's going to shut down, and they need to be the ones responsible for taking care of, like, surviving. And so they have cows that they drink the milk straight out of the cow, and goats that they drink the milk straight out of the goat, and they have, like, all sorts of poultry and things that they feel like if the world ends and the government shuts down, they're going to be the survivors. I'm pretty sure they have some sort of trench dug under their house. I don't know.
Right.
They're very strange. And they ended up getting a bunch of ducks, Peking ducks,
cute.
White ducks. Yeah,
yeah,
they're adorable. Until you live next door to them and your pasture is right next to where they put their little duck plastic pond and all the freaking ducks do is shed feathers, okay? Feathers. And the feathers end up blowing into my pasture. And it looks like it dank snowed in my pasture and I live in the desert. So I have a little bit of a problem with my neighbors. And I've repeatedly kindly asked them to please just rake up the feathers that are around the little duck pool. And they refuse to do it to the point where I've seen them raking other parts of their property. And I have yelled over the fence, so you at least own a rake. Is that what I'm getting here? And that did not go over very well. Needless to say, it did not breed warmth coming back from the neighbors. I have now reported them and complained to the HOA or the lack of HOA that we actually have. I mean, it's bad. To the point where I was out cleaning my pasture with my dear sweet husband, and I just couldn't take it anymore. He's trying to rake up feathers in the pasture. It's impossible to rake up feathers that are in grass, okay? You can't do it. I've already had a horse have a colic. I'm over it. So at this point, we've got our gator that is full of poop in the back. And I know, and don't post anything about this on Facebook, just in case they follow on Facebook, Jennifer, please. because I take my manure fork, my fantastic Equity MFG fork, and I start shoveling horse poop from the back of my gator, and I start launching it into their yard. And they don't have horses, okay? They do not own horses. And I repeatedly, by the way, the Equity is good for throwing poop back on the ground as well as picking it up, because I was able to get about 6 shovelfuls launched into their property, which goes into their barn, and I am throwing piles of horse crap into their yard. At this point, my husband, it was like slow motion. He's like, no! Towards me to grab the fork as I am in full purple phase of rage at the fact that I have so many damn feathers in my pasture and I don't own a duck, and it pisses me off and I can't believe that they won't clean it up, and I'm so mad, and I spent $600 on an impaction colic and I'm blaming it on them, and I have it's a little bit of a problem that I get so angry about it, and so it ended up, of course, my husband was the one who spoke logically, was like, you can't just throw horse poop into their yard. It doesn't breed any sort. It's not going to help anything but make them mad as well. And I disagreed that, we've done everything we can here and it's time to retaliate. And my husband was the one who did, he talked sense into me after removing the fork from my hands as I was trying to grab it back and hit him with it. It was a fun day. And that was my weekend craziness. Needless to say, I haven't heard from the neighbors yet. And when they walk outside and see all the horse poop in their barn and their yard, they may have questions, and I doubt they'll doubt where it comes from. But I just had to get that off my chest. I just had to let you guys know what I did this past weekend.
I wish Chad videoed that so we could see it.
That reminds me of that Miranda Lambert song where, like, the lyric of the verse is, like, can't get revenge and keep a spotless reputation.
Yeah, if anybody saw that, my reputation is not spotless. Ever again will it be spotless, especially, and the thing is, you do these crazy things in front of the people that you love the most, like you leaving your husband, like he left you at a party because you refused to get in the car. I made an ass out of myself in front of my husband. There was nobody else to see it. So we only hurt ourselves. Yes. I just felt like I needed to get that off my chest. Wendy, do you have anything you need to confess? Jen, anything to confess before
I don't think I want to do it. I don't want to do it on here. I'd rather keep my skeletons in my closet.
Obviously, you are not on my show very often because we have no closets. The skeletons just come out. I mean, Leslie, you know, are you going to do a post on Horse Nation about running down the streets of Knoxville at 2 in the a.m. in the morning and riding boots in a sexy Santa costume?
No, no. That is a Horse Radio Network exclusive.
Hey, yay! That's what we do here on Horses in the Morning. We just spill it. We spill it. So maybe if you can come up with anything, you're welcome to. Otherwise, maybe we should cover at least one Horse Nation story. Which one would you like to pick, Leslie?
Oh, gosh. You know, while I'm on a roll this morning, apparently, of embarrassing things, I think it might be time to do my annual rendition of Santa Baby, the equestrian version.
This is one of my favorite things ever. Leslie, I would like to introduce you as like a radio DJ would. And now, coming at you guys live from Horses in the Morning, I'd like to welcome Leslie Wiley and her annual rendition of Santa Baby, written by her, sung by her, live here on Horses in the Morning. Take it away, Leslie.
All right. Okay. Here goes. Brace yourself.
That was your cue.
Santa Baby, flip the stallion under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa Baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Santa Baby, a 2013 F352 in blue with the tow package, dear Santa Baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Think of all the trainers' butts I've kissed. Think of all the distances I haven't missed. Next year, I'm sure this could be me. And there's a little picture of somebody jumping like a 8-foot fence. If you'll check off my Christmas list, Santa Baby, I want a rig, and really that's not so big. Been an angel all year, Santa Baby, so hurry down
hurry
the hayloft
down the hay.
Tonight. Santa honey, there's one thing I really do need, the deed to a Wellington farm, Santa honey, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Santa cutie, I need a hot stable hand named Tex and Chex. Sign your ex on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the hayloft tonight. I wish we had Templeton on. She could do this so much better than me.
Are you done?
That was great.
More.
I love that.
There are a couple more verses. I can keep going or spare you guys.
You got to finish it because the next one is my favorite.
Okay. Come and leave my horse a snack, a lifetime supply of supplements from Smart Pack. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa Baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa Baby. Y'all know what kind of ring I'm talking about, right? Big old indoor. Yeah.
Indoor.
Hurry down the hayloft tonight.
Like there's another kind, you know? Like there's another kind.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Leslie, well done. Well done. Fantastic job. Hold on. Here we go. I'll give you this because I can hit the buttons now. Yay! You guys can find that on horsenation.com. Just search Santa Baby, and it's there. Did you write that yourself?
Yeah.
You mean you don't have ghostwriters? Awesome. Yeah, we should have Templeton record that. Well, you guys can find everything on horsenation.com. This time for the show has just flown by. It's been Girls' Day. Glenn is out, you know, like we said, Christmas shopping. I'm using finger quotes in the air going, Christmas shopping. we just want to thank all the ladies for joining us, Lisa and Katie and Tempe and Mary and, of course, you know, the person – who besides me chooses to embarrass herself more than anybody else on the show besides me, and that is Leslie Wiley. Leslie, thank you so much.
Good job.
Good job. Good job. Good job. And for my awesome co-host today, thank you, Wendy. I appreciate you jumping in here at the last minute.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for having me, and it's been really fun working with you, Jamie, because I'm a big fan of yours, so it's been great.
Oh, you didn't have to lie at the end. I mean, you could have just been honest. And Jennifer, thank you guys very much. Y'all have a great day. Don't forget to spay, neuter, and geld. Do you say anything at the end of your show every single time?
We say keep the shiny side up.
What does that mean?
This means like don't flip over your carriage. Stay upright.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Play neuter gel. Keep the shiny side up. Don't flip your carriage. Leslie.
And go riding.
Go ride.